This is a recording of Mrs. Huth of 6 Woodbury Lane, Rowland's Castle, who was formerly housekeeper at Stanstead House, recorded on the 8th of September 2004.
Carol Kathleen Hearpoint, born the 3rd of July 1926. I was born down the Durrance Road in Rowland's Castle, which is now called, well, it was East Durrance Road, and now it is called the Witch's Gate Road. But I was born in by the common, in the house next to the public house called the Royal Oak, which later became a farm, and it was owned by Mr. Pescott. My father worked in the local brickworks at Rowland's Castle for many, many years, and then he went to the Wadham's shop, Wadham's at Waterlooville. My mother was just the housekeeper, she never went out to work, but I went to school at the local Rowland's Castle school, as did my sister, who was 13 and a half years older than me. The school has now been turned into flats, unfortunately. But, Well, we had a very happy childhood and went to the local school, and we had Miss Baker was one of the early teachers, and then we went on, Mr. Young was the headmaster, and there wasn't much that we had room to play in, but once a year we were taken to the Lee Park House for the day out. That was their day out. And we always had a very nice day there. The village used to have lovely fairs and sports meetings up the Rowland's Castle Recreation Ground, and they played football up there and cricket up there. And my father-in-law and mother-in-law lived on the village green, by the village green, and my husband and these three brothers were in the Royal Marines during the war, and the other one was in the Royal Engineers. And well, there was four boys and a daughter, and they went through the war.
And their names were?
The daughter was Daisy.
Daisy,
yes, and she became a flight officer in the WAFs, and she married a flying officer from Australia. It was Australian, and she's now out in Australia. Roy was the eldest. He went in the Royal Marines as a band boy and became a band leader of the Royal Marine band. Frank, I can't remember what Frank did now, but
he was also in the Royal Marines.
Yes, he was a Green Beret in the Royal Marines. Yes, they were three of them in the Royal Marines and one in the engineers.
Yeah.
But there's only one still alive now, that's the youngest Douglas. And of course Daisy, who was in her 80s.
And you were married to Rob?
I was married to Bernard.
Right.
Yes. I think he worked on the railway.
Yes.
He was in the Royal Marine. He was in the British Legion band.
Yes.
So was Roy as a young boy. So 15, and I was started working for Mr. and Mrs. Trebs, the farm at Tills Lane, and I left there and went to work for Mr. and Mrs. My sister, Florrie, worked for a Captain and Mrs. Richards at the Lynx Lane. And I went up there and worked with her. And then I worked after that with a Mr. and Mrs. Lloyd down the Finchdean Road. He was a bank manager. And they moved to New Zealand. The whole family went to New Zealand. The two boys and the two girls. And Mr. and Mrs. Lloyd followed them. So after that, of course, I got married.
Which year did you get married?
Sorry?
Which year?
1949. And my husband came out of the Royal Marines and went to Stansted House, the chauffeur to the Earl of Bessborough. He worked 10 years with that, seventh Earl, and then the rest of the time with the 10th Earl. Under the clock tower.
That's where
the
you
clock
live.
Tower was, there. And we had twin sons.
When were they born?
1952. But unfortunately, one died when he was 10 weeks old. But my son now is 52. And there were three chauffeurs at Stansted, and we all had twins. Yes. The Dowager Lady Bessborough said that it was nothing to do with the house, she told me, and I said, well, it must be something to do with the job. Yes, the first chauffeur that Bernard worked under, the head chauffeur, was, he had a twin son and daughter. The other chauffeur had twin daughters and we had twin sons. Yes.
And when did you come to work in Stansted House itself?
I used to work part-time until I had the twins. And then when the Earl and Countess died, the Earl died and Robert, the Countess, went to London to live. And I sort of took over then, and was there all those years. Bernard, 46 years, 43 years myself.
Really?
Yeah.
And so when did you retire?
We retired in 1991.
Yes.
And Bernard died the following year.
Tell me what your job at Stansted involved.
Well, I there were three of us that used to do the housework. And yes, that was Mrs. Ken Chenton and Mrs. Pat Harding, and then Joyce Churchill came as well, and we used to clean the house through, and I used to take the breakfast in to Lord Beswith into the dining room. And then when any of the lady guests arrived, I used to unpack for them and take their breakfast in for to them and pack for them when they went away. And then I used to shut the house up after the butler left and put the burglar alarms on. And that was it. Yes, yes.
Can you tell me about any of the guests that stayed? Or can you tell me their names?
Oh yes, it's all in that book.
Yes.
There's Alexandra and her husband, and King and Queen of Greece. And President Johnson's daughter, and his Linda Bird Johnson,
yes.
His wife, and lots of members of the government, Lord Halifax, and all those kind of people, and then there was a lot of Lord Beswick's friends.
Did you have to get an extra staff at that time when you had important guests?
No, because at one time there was a butler and the cook and the footman, and they all had their separate jobs, so you know, that was quite easy really.
And were any of them very demanding? Did they ask for strange things or made you work very hard, or were they very nice?
They were all very, very nice. Yes, yes. They were very nice indeed.
Yes.
Treated you with great respect and just as though you were one of them, sort of thing. You know, they were just very nice. Yes. So.
Now, tell me the story of McCall's that you looked after.
And the calls.
Yeah.
Oh dear. Well, as Lord Beswick went to South America and came back and told me that he was having six macaws brought over, and he wanted me to look after them because I was very good with birds. And in the old theatre, they put two huge beech trees, and they were housed there, a massive great building. And they had an eight-side aviary, and one morning I went round and Lord Beswick had opened the aviary and they'd all flown out. And I was worried, really worried sick, because I thought they would never come back again. But they all came back, and we used to call the three one pair had a baby, we used to call them the Red Arrows, because when the cricketers were playing out on the cricket team, they used to dive bomb them.
Oh, really?
three of them. Yes. And they were quite beautiful. The children loved them, and they used to go as far as Compton and West Marden, and they flew around the forest, and they had a wonderful life there.
What did you feed them on?
They were fed on the bird seed and fruit and
yes.
All that kind of thing, you know, what you feed them on. And they were wonderful, really.
And tell me their names.
Well, the main one, which was very affectionate to me, that was the one that's picture on the shoulder.
Yeah.
I called him, that was Petsy. Rio was the blue and white, blue and yellow one. The other blue and yellow one, I called him Bluey. And there was Rebel, and the mother, I called her Mumsy, because she had the baby. And the baby I named Ponsonby, after Lord Besra's family. Yes, I can't, what were the others? I can't remember what.
Tell me anything about the, I don't know. And there was a cricket pitch at...
Yes, yes, on the front lawn.
And who played there?
Yes, and there were all the local teams that came to play. And the cricket pavilion was under the clock tower. They used to have their teas and that in there.
Yeah.
And yes, it was always very nice to watch them, you know.
Can you tell me any of your war memories or about the invasion, just the time just before the D-Day?
Well, we had the army, the Canadian Army down in the Bottom Woods in Rowlands. We had the Royal Air Force in the woods up at Forestside. The French naval camp was down in the towards Emsworth, and there was the Stockheath naval camp, which was more or less Lee Park now. And we knew something was going on, because the troops were all coming all along and being all along the roads, they tanks, and the village green was covered with them, tents and troops. And we used to, they were all down the road where I live with my mother and father, and you'd see them one day and the next day they'd be gone and another lot would appear. And one night we went to the British Legion hall at Emsworth and to a dance, and there was all this terrific noise which drowned out the band. So we went outside and it was all the planes towing the gliders over for the invasion. Yes. The sky was just black with them. It was incredible. Yes.
And did you see the king when he came to review the troops?
Yes, we did. Yes. And there was some... I mean, you couldn't move for troops, really. They were just everywhere. A friend of ours that worked on the Stansted estate, that lived in Stubbermere, she married one of the Canadians and went to Canada and after the war, and he got to the rank of colonel. Yes, and we still keep in touch with her, and she used to work with us at Captain and Mrs. Richards, you see. And yes, so that was another. Married at Forestside Church when she was 18. And they've been married now for 62 years. Yeah. That married the Canadian. We used to go to the dances and in the parish hall, and she used to say to my sister and myself, "Sit either side of me, don't let that awful corporal get anywhere near me." And before we knew it, she was being married.
That corporal?
Yes, and he got to the rank of colonel, and yes. But no, we used to, and I remember when the German bomber came down here up just past these houses in the fields, Woodbury Lane, and of course we all got on their bicycles and came up to see it, you know. But
and was the crew killed?
Yes, all of them. I mean, they were all these all covered over, and it wasn't very nice really. But and then of course the Spitfire came down in the avenue at Stansted, and the flower shows.
Tell me about the village fair.
You had the flower shows, the big marquees with the flowers and veg and everything in it. All the athletics, and you had the fair and fireworks, and it used to be a most wonderful day. Yeah, it really was. And everybody seemed to take part. It was a real village community, all very, very together, you know. Yeah. It was nice, yes.
And did you belong to any clubs or organisations in the village?
No, I didn't really. I didn't, no. But,
tell me about your son, Brian.
He's 52 years old now, and when he was born, I had twin boys, and unfortunately lost one when he was 10. That was Paul, and we lost him when he was 10 weeks old. But Brian was christened in Stansted Chapel, and then he went to the local school at Forestside, and then to Southbourne, and he worked for the Stansted Forest in the woods department to start off with. And then, that's not quite right. He went as a hairdresser in the local barber shop at Westbourne, because the butler's son, Robert, he worked there as well. So Brian went there. But then afterwards he worked in the sawmills at Stansted, and then he went to they got married, and he went to when they got married lived in the house number 5 here.
5 Woodbury.
Yes, 5 Woodbury Lane. And then they bought a house at Westleigh, and then moved to Bognor.
What's his job now?
Sorry?
What's his job now?
Well, he did work for a big carpet firm for 15 years, but he was finding it a bit stressful because he had to go all the way down to Somerset and Wiltshire and London, and he was finding it a bit stressful, and he was also finding it wasn't doing his shoulder and his back very well, so he applied just recently for a job at the Royal West Sussex Hospital and got it straight away.
What?
And that is delivering all the sort of medical things to the various surgeries. He comes to Rollins Castle surgery and goes to the hospitals in West Sussex, and he's thoroughly enjoying it, really. Yes.
He's married. Has he any children?
No, unfortunately, no. Margaret had to have an operation just after they were married, so it wasn't possible. But I couldn't wish for a lovelier daughter-in-law. She's very kind and very caring to me and my sister.
Well, yes,
and right. They're very happy.
Yes.
So that is the main thing.
Where the garage is
now, this Witch's Gate garage, was a copse called the Twitten.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and during the war, Pink's, the grocery people, had a big store depot there, and then the Evening News newspaper took it over.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. My sister remembered that as well. Well, she told me, you know, when we were writing it all down. Yes, so that was a copse, the whole area. That was a whole area. Yes.
But
this is a list of shops compiled by Mrs. Pearl House of 6 Woodbury Lane and her sister, and given to me, Sonia Teal, on the 7th of September 2004. The shops were the ones in Rowlands Castle in their lifetime, and many have long gone. Cobbett's the Grocers, Barrett's Garage, Rouse's Grocery, Mitchell's Papers, Brace the Shoemaker, Barchard's Grocers, Dunning's Butchers, Rickard's Cafe, which became the Hairdressers, the Dairy, the Village Stores, a tailor, a Spanish Gypsy Cafe, a chemist, Burt's Stores, Post Office, Royals the Baker, Mrs. Tugwell Dress Shop, another butcher's, Wigginton and Hearn, grocer's, Mrs. Miles Paper, a fruit shop, and Hall's Bicycle Shop. There were also 5 pubs, of which the Royal Oak, Witch's Gate Road, has long disappeared. Village activities included a British Legion band, a tug of war, and the annual flower show.